welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. What a day it has been in World Cup action. Craig Burley, Frank Leboeuf, Stevie Nicol and Kay Murray here in the studio. Let's take a look at how things went down in Group E. For a small few moments, it looked as though both Spain and Germany would be out of the tournament, but Japan defeated Spain to win Group E. Spain still make it through in second due to a superior goal difference to Germany. They crash out, though, for a second consecutive World Cup. Wow, what a day it was. And who would have expected it to be Japan on top of this group? For those just few moments, Frank, it looked as though it was going to be Costa Rica and Japan going through. Let's welcome in, by the way, Archie Rintoutt and Luis Garcia. Yeah. But wow, Frank.
Yeah, for 3 minutes was like crazy for Costa Rica. I think it was for like 10, 15 minutes, a real roller coaster, you know, on everybody's heads, you know, who's going to go through, what's going to happen. Can you imagine Costa Rica and Japan going through, Spain and Germany out? And Germany managed to change the result to allow, in fact, Spain to go through. And but great, I'm happy because we see something nice. We see that football is not all about, you know, the level that you have, but it's that you have to prove every day and every game you play that you're really worth it.
Germany are out. Think about this. Poland are through. I mean, I would actually rather paint all the bathrooms in the house than watch them play. But they're through. They're through, and that's, you know, yellow cards and blah, blah, blah. But I tell you what, I would have had no sympathy for Spain had they gone out. Can't take anything for granted. I know it was an unlikely scenario, Costa Rica beating Germany, but we've seen the Germans recently. We've seen how fallible they are defensively. And listen, going into that game, Enrique's side had not qualified. He made the changes against a more than decent Japan side. It's a risk and reward, but what, 70 minutes into the game, give whatever it was, they were out. They were out and they were struggling. How much of that they knew, I don't know.
Well, he claims that they didn't know anything about what was going on.
Then he damn well should have known what's going on.
He said, I didn't know at any point that they weren't going out of the tournament. He didn't know is what he said right after that one. But Luis Garcia, Spain go through in second as group runners up and it might just suit them.
Yeah, that's what it looks. And it looks like they might have done it because on purpose. Try to get second and maybe go against Morocco that... It looks like on paper it should be an easy game, but it's not like this. I think today, once again, Spain was exposed. You have to keep that consistency. You have to keep that intensity. And today, the midfield of Spain wasn't at that standard. I think when you face against a Japanese team, you know that you have to bring the best of the best. You have to run. You have to cope up with that intensity. And today, Spain was probably thinking about, if we get a result, if we get just a draw, we are going to be fine. But the Japanese were not taking that. And that's why they suffered just too much. And at the end, you're going to face against a Moroccan team that is not an easy cookie. I can tell you that. I've seen them play quite a while, and it's a very tough team. They only conceded one goal, and it's been today an own goal. And they got players up front who can be very, very dangerous. We all know very well in the city, the place in Spain at Sevilla. He arrived fresh into this World Cup, so it's not going to be an easy game. You think that maybe Croatia could have been worse, but I'm not sure about that. We've seen today playing Croatia, and it wasn't also a very good team either.
Listen, we can throw that conspiracy theory out the window.
Yeah, they didn't.
I mean,
they try to win the game.
Anybody that's peddling that needs to give their head a wobble. They beat Croatia at the Euros. OK, it was a high-scoring match, but they'll fancy their chances against any of these sides. They did not try and lose the game to finish second. They just lost the game.
I think what we saw in this game against Japan is what most of us were talking about, but particularly Luis, before the competition started, that they had problems up front, scoring goals, and they knew that defensively they didn't really know what they had. That all showed itself today. If you play a game and the opposition only has 18% of the ball and you lose, it clearly shows where your problems are. And that's what we saw today.
Honestly, they got a barrel load against Costa Rica.
Yeah, but... It makes no difference, right? What you saw in this game, 82% of the ball and you lose the game and you lose two goals as well, tells you you've got a problem defensively. And if you've got 82% of the ball and you lose the game, You're telling me that going forward you don't have a problem. It's staring them right in the face where the problems are.
But they've banged all those goals. And Costa Rica were bad. I get that. Germany have put four past in the day. But they have scored goals in this competition. I think it's the other end. You know, Rodri going back in there. Mm-hmm. The German defence we saw today, we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. You could penetrate that pretty easy. He's put Rodri back in there. He has other centre-halves on the bench. Let's see, natural centre-halves. Let's see what he does now in the knockout phase. Because they do create chances. I think it's the defensive end that's the problem, not the other end.
What I like today to see, because people were saying, oh, he led the game against Costa Rica. They got the possession of the ball, like 80%. They made like more than 1,000 passes, which is the record. Today, 968 passes for what? To lose 2-1 against a team who barely touched the ball. So what is the reality and the truthness of football? The effectiveness or the position of the ball? I think we have to go through also the what we see and the stats that we are analysing to maybe go to a conclusion, you know?
Yeah, but we're missing something here, Frank. This is what Spain do. This is the model that's been successful for them, albeit with different players. They have been the best team to watch at one point in the world.
So are you saying that's the exception to the rule today?
I'm saying that's their methodology. That's the way Enrique wants them to play. That's how they've had success before. They're not out of this competition. They've just been given a bit of a bloody nose. And we're in the corner worrying about it for a little while. But there's no point us sitting here saying, tiki-taka, tiki-taka. That's been Spain for what, the last 15, 20 years?
But surely that is the point when you have that much of the ball and it's about getting the second goal to finish the game off.
I agree.
Which is what happened against Costa Rica.
Yep.
But if you can't do that and then you throw in what you're talking about defensively, it's this game for me stares Spain right in the face where the problems are, and it's both at the front and at the back.
Luis, what do you think of what the guys are saying? Do you think Luis Enrique does have some thinking to do going forward?
No, of course, every manager have to think about what is the performance of the team. And today, once again, we have to think that every game is totally different. We are trying to compare the game against Costa Rica, where, yeah, Costa Rica, we've seen it today, is a team that it can be quite open. When they had in their hands that they could go through, they start committing players up front and knowing that Germany was going to go against them. They needed to defend a little bit better, and they concede 3 goals in a row. So that shows that Costa Rica had a lot of problems in defense. But when you go and see and analyze what Japan is going to do against you, we've seen it. When they've done it against Germany, they've done it against Costa Rica. It's a team that has got a plan A and a plan B. And a plan A where they are very organized, very disciplined, very tight. And you've seen it. Spain was playing very well in the first half, trying to move the ball to one side and the other side. But only one chance, 2 shots on target. That's what they got, because they don't give any space. And in the second half, change again. They did it against Germany. They change again the mentality. They start pressing higher. They go good players up front. And then they make quick transitions that can be very dangerous, with Spain trying to be open and looking for the second goal. That's what you have to analyze. You know that against teams that they are organized at the back, Spain always gets problems. It's very difficult to break those lines because they don't have a player who can dribble 1-2 players like we've seen today. For example, Musiala, Sané, players who on the ball can be 1 or 2 players on dribbling or on the speed. That's what Spain doesn't have. What is goal? Pace on the ball. Bring the ball, tiki-taka, one side or the other side. Try to break those lines, moving quick the ball. Today, it was very slow. It was not committed up front. And at the end, you get what you deserve. Today, Japan was better with the plan A and the plan B.
Maybe when they made those changes, subconsciously, in the player's mind as well, it was...
It was done.
We're done. Mm. It's like Germany will beat Costa Rica. We're kind of done. It's a little bit flat. There's not the intensity about it. There's not the pace. I just think it's difficult to make an argument about goals up front when we've just finished the third game of this competition and they've got 9.
It doesn't make any sense.
They've got 9 goals, albeit Costa Rica, I understand.
Right. But that's the problem, sometimes it can lull you into a false sense of security. That the fact that you've scored all these goals But the truth is, with so much of the ball, they couldn't really produce clear chances against a team that actually defended well.
Guys, let's talk about the controversy in this game now. There's been a lot of talk about the second goal from Japan. And whether the ball went out of play before the goal was scored. This is the picture that was doing the rounds, basically. And there were different angles of it as well that got everybody talking about. So Japan scoring a second goal in the 51st minute, cuts the ball back from the goal line, but the assistant's flag went up for the ball being out of play for a goal kick. VAR decision, goal, ball in play. Dale Johnson.
Referees and assistant's decision was a goal.
So for the VAR, Fernando Guerrero of Mexico, to overturn the decision of the assistant, he has to have definitive evidence that part of the ball is on the line. Importantly, this isn't just about the ball touching the ground. The curvature overhanging the line also counts. So basically, it's the whole spherical part of the ball, and if part of that's over it.
Some people think it's like the ball has to be touching the line. It doesn't. If you watch players taking corner kicks now, they place the ball close to the quadrant.
Yeah.
And it's not on the line, it's not touching the line.
A little bit outside, yeah.
But it's overhanging the line. And I honestly think this is quite simple from watching the game and what I've seen. Was the referees and these assistants called it live? It was a close one. And clearly, it looks to me as if we're talking millimetres, but the ball from the angles we've seen, or I've seen, is overhanging by millimetres. And so the goal stands. It's inconclusive that the whole ball was totally over the line, so you cannot go back and rule it out. I'm guessing there's somebody close to us thinks different.
Yeah, of course, okay, I think different because even if I agree with you, because I think it's still in, I don't have the 100%.
What do you mean you agree? Is it in or out?
No, it's we don't know. We don't know. We don't know. No. I said no. It's what I think. That's my own opinion. The VAR is there to tell us at 100% if they know, and they have to show us, or to the broadcast, we can show to the audience, if it's in or out. If they don't have a 100% evidence that it's in or out, you should go back to the decision of the referee. And what was the decision of the referee? Out, because the linesman put the flag up. So you have to go back to no goal. That's what it is. That's the law. That's what they've been explained by everybody. So because, and it's a mistake by the linesman, and it's like penalties, when you the guy say penalty where they don't wait for the VAR, the referee don't wait for the VAR. Wait for the VAR, don't say anything, then you can change your mind. But the ref shouldn't be able to, well, that's the law, is not able to change the law if you're not 100% sure through the VAR.
Okay, anyway, it's controversial one way. Spain didn't seem to be too upset about it in the end. Germany might be. But let's get to Germany then, shall we? Because for a second consecutive World Cup, Archie, and thanks for waiting for this as well, by the way, Germany are out in the group stages. Surely there is going to have to be a rebuild for the national team.
You'd think so. And also just to point out, as I've seen one or two saying on Twitter, Kay, not the first time that Germany have been the victims of a was-the-ball-over-the-line decision at a World Cup. So we move to why this happened. I think you saw after the first 10 minutes today the complacency that was there against this Costa Rica team. They seem to think that, hang on, we don't need to give all our energy to roll this team over. And I think Costa Rica sensed that as well. If you look at the overarching reasons as to why they're going out, I think that the balance of this team isn't quite right, that Thomas Müller was continually picked when actually a big decision needed to be made by Hansi Flick to drop him for Niklas Füllkrug, for Germany to play with a number nine, but also for Hansi Flick to be able to say to some of these big name players, actually, I'm not going to try and jam you into the team no matter what. It's about how the system works for the team. And I think that ultimately that has cost Germany over the course of the three games that they've had as well. And you wonder, has there been enough of a departure from Joachim Löw? Let's not forget that Hansi Flick was an assistant to him. And particularly having just listened to him in his TV interview, I didn't get the sense of the fact that he'd made many mistakes or that there'd been that much remorse for this. But the fact is, the same things keep on happening to Germany in major tournaments. Kay, if I went through with you what happened in 2018, what happened in 2021, and in this tournament, it's the same thing in a bad first game, a better second game where everything looks better, and then a terrible third game as well. It's just they got lucky against Hungary last time that Leon Goretzka rescued them, and then England put them to the sword. I think that the DFB have to change things. It reminds me the way that they stick to 4-2-3-1. It gives me recollections of how in England when I was growing up, it used to be it's 4-4-2 no matter what, and they have to just jam things in there. And as Germany, they do have problems as well, bringing through certain types of players. But don't forget, Benedikt Höwedes, who is not a left-back, played the entirety of the 2014 World Cup at left-back for Germany. There are questions about the lack of fight in this team, although Hansi Flick was very defensive against that when Bastian Schweinsteiger put that to him on German TV. But I think that Schweinsteiger has a point. You've got the Bayern players who I think are far too comfortable in this team, and it's left up to Jamal Musiala, who we got to the end of this game, and it felt like he was just dribbling and didn't feel comfortable passing to his teammates because he didn't trust them. So, yeah, a whole load of problems for Germany.
Yeah, it's interesting because Schweinsteiger did say at the back we have one defender of quality in Rudiger and the rest, they're just decent Bundesliga level. He was very cutting in what he said. Hansi Flick said we need to get better at player development, saying that we've been crying out for number nines and strong fullbacks. Defending always distinguished who we were for years. We need to get back to basics.
Yeah. Why didn't he play one?
Can I just correct myself?
Can I
just correct myself quickly? Because I was actually watching the Germany game more than the Spain game, and I didn't realise the referee had and the assistant had given the ball out.
Right.
And it was changed. Apologise for that. I wasn't watching the Spain game as close because I thought it was a dead rubber. I still think it was a good goal, by the way, so.
I'm not the ref.
I thought that game was a dead rubber. I thought everything was in Costa Rica, Germany. But go back to the Germany point. I was astonished that the big lad, what's his name again, that came on?
Phil Krug.
I was astonished he didn't start. He then put Kimmich to right back, and Costa Rica were all... And I know they won the game, effectively, but we're talking about team selection. Costa Rica were always going to be under the cosh. They're always going to defend narrow, and there was not going to be much space. And Musiala, some of the dribbles he went on... And, That young lad's close control and how he ducks and drops his shoulder and creates space is amazing. Mm. But if you've got at least that big guy, what was it we're describing as horse rubbish in the middle, getting balls in the box, it creates space for others. And Hansi Flick can talk about team selection all he wants, but he said three games and all the friendlies and Nations League and all these games going into it to figure this out. And he hasn't been able to do it.
You can't actually tell me, you look at that team and tell me that is such a bad team and the Germans have to rip it up and start producing players again. I mean, seriously. I mean, you can argue whether Müller should have played or not, but the fact is...
It would be nice
Müller's
to play the players in their positions, which shows that there are some glaring...
Well, I'm going to get there. Müller's playing for one of the best teams on the planet in Bayern Munich every week, and he's doing well. He's doing fine there.
Yeah.
So don't just start throwing things at Müller. But look at you've got Gundogan particularly plays for, again, arguably the best team on the planet. I mean, Goretzka, you're telling me Goretzka's not a great player? Come on. So basically we're looking at the back line. So if you're going to talk about developing players, yes, you need to develop some defenders because that's where the problem is, defensively.
The problem is, Stevie, if the weaknesses of the team are not being addressed and you're just basing it all around your strongest players, you need to have them mixing in as well and defending those guys as well. And there seems to be a bit of a rift there. And the fact is as well, Hansi Flick, as Craig's saying, does he know his best team? He's picked three different right-backs for the group stage games. That is not the actions of a guy who I think, okay, yeah, he definitely knows what teams he wants to be playing here. So I think that he needs to be playing into the hands of the guys who don't play for Bayern. And there's been a lot of talk about how he's such a good man manager, and how he has such close relations with the top players. I wonder whether it was too much, because I think that sometimes you can't have dessert for breakfast. You've got to be able to pick the players who are going to fit into that system the best and not just pick, say, Ilkay Gundogan at a number 10 position where you need to be having Jamal Musiala there to get the best out of him for three games.
I have to remind everybody that Germany won today. And they lost against Japan. And I want to remind everybody that today Spain lost against Japan. So, yeah, you can be very critical to Germany. And I agree with Archie. I think knows better the national team that we all do. But I have to go with Stevie. When I see Bayern Munich playing in Champions League, and you add to that Bayern Munich Rüdiger at the back and Gundogan in the middle, they're going to win the Champions League. And so, therefore, I think they have a very strong team. So what doesn't work in the national team? I don't have the answer. I think Hansi Flick has to find how to make those players as efficient that they are for their clubs.
But there's a big drop-off. There's a big drop-off in terms of the quality of the rest of the Bayern team and what they're playing with at national team level. I think that's part of it. They don't have the one-man sweeping machine in Alphonso Davies at left-back, for example, who can zoom in. And you could see sometimes the reliance in the way that these players are expecting counter-attacks to be swept up as they were when Hansi Flick was at Bayern. But that's not the case. I think as well, on a Japanese level, it's quite amusing that the four goals that they've scored in this tournament to knock Germany out or all by players who are based in Germany right now. Ritsu Doan scoring twice. Our Tanaka, who plays the Fortuna Düsseldorf in the second division as well. And Asano, who plays for Bochum. So I think they're going to have some real fun when they go back to their clubs in January. Saying, how did the World Cup go, lads?
So everything is because of Rum. On the left side.
Well, but it's
actually, you could make an argument to say he's been their most consistent player in all the three games.
Who?
The left back.
Rum.
Yeah.
Archie, when he's saying though as well, we're crying out for number nine. Yeah, of course.
I'm allowed to say something about Germany because it was one of my favorite teams getting into this. We are talking about that there's not enough quality on this team, and I think they are top in Europe. All of them, if you have a look, they are playing in all top leagues. I think that the only problem of this team has been the mentality. They come from a very big pressure after playing in two massive tournaments. Very, 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 to be honest, very bad. And when they arrived to this one, that pressure of trying to play, I think it was just too much. They thought that just playing a little bit, if you have a look to the players that they got in front of, it's just fantastic. There's a lot of quality on that team. But the mentality, the German team has been always a team that overrun every single team that he got in front. They just, the pressure, the intensity has been always very high. And you can see that from the first minute of this competition, they haven't been in that situation. And there are not many different players that we played before. And something that shocked me a lot once they finished the game, yes, Müller arrived to the press conference, doesn't even leave the stadium and says a farewell to the national team, says that, thank you very much for the support. This is my last game on this. I did everything. What is the mentality of a player who is thinking about retiring from the national team right after the whistle blows when you have to face the opponent? I think the mentality of this team is the one that has changed a lot, not the quality of the players.
Luis, just while we are actually talking to you for the minute, we'd like to get a talk on mentality because I wonder what all the Spanish fans are thinking and how their heart rates are when they see Unai Simón, the Spanish goalkeeper, on the ball. What do you think of him?
Well, I guess we all have our doubts when he's arrived the ball. Not because we don't know that he's got quality and he's capable of playing with the ball. I think he's got a fantastic touch. But that cold blood that he's got, that tranquility that he tries to show, I think doesn't cope with the moments. I think he sometimes gets a mistake of, that's the way that I arrive here with the confidence of the manager, with the way that I play. But there are moments where I think that you need to understand that that's not enough for everybody. You are making nervous to the players you got next to him. And because you are delaying or giving the pass, I think the pass to Balde today, it would have been a little bit better or it could have been longer. And you don't put Balde on the spot to a young player at 18 that has to go through, have to make a control in the air. So at the end, sometimes you need to think not only on your perspective, also on the perspective of the rest one. And for the supporters of the Spanish national team, yes, we get a little bit nervous when he's on the ball.
Interesting.
It all worked out in the end. Apart from Germany, that is.
Yeah. Apart from Germany. So what now, Archie? What happens next?
Well, Hansi Flick has a contract as head coach of the national team up until and including Euro 2024. which is held in Germany. He said that he wants to stay on. I wonder if that would be the right call right now. I think that there needs to be an overhaul of the way that they are doing things at the DFB, at the German FA, because the same mistakes keep on happening. And just listening to the rhetoric of Hansi Flick after this, I didn't see somebody who thought he'd got a lot wrong when it's staring everybody else in the face. And I think that in Germany as well, you have a lot of people on TV who played under Flick when he was assistant coach to Joachim Löw in 2014. And I see a lot of loyalty towards him when you hear them speak about him. But I think that there are some indefensible decisions here. And unless that I think he's able to be a little bit more self-critical publicly, I'm not sure that he's the right guy for Germany in this tournament, in the next tournament. I mean, this tournament, definitely not. But I think that I think that serious questions need to be asked of him and of the DFB, of team director Oliver Bierhoff, because also I think that there were lots of things that didn't work out for them off the pitch. I don't include the One Love armband in that. I don't think that that played a role as a little message to Rob Page and Eden Hazard, what they said. But I think that on the football side of things and how they're organising things there, they do have certain weaknesses in certain positions at fullback, for example. I don't want to put it all on David Raum, Frank. Don't worry. I'm just saying that Alphonso Davies is a one-man counter-attacking, sweeping up machine. But I think that there are problems and they need to address them toot sweet.
Yeah, there is a dictature of emergency in everything we see. You don't get out of the group stages, bye-bye, get out. We see coaches resigning one after another. Where I know that we know the coach, we know what he has been able to achieve with Bayern Munich. We know his talents and what he can do. And you miss a competition, bye-bye. Where you have a contract until the next Euro. I don't know, sometimes we have to get the time maybe to explore a little bit more and to see where it goes further, because, you know, his talent is not in question, I think. I think he proved during his career as a coach that
sure,
he can be the coach of the national team. Maybe he made mistakes, but who doesn't?
Do you know, Archie, I don't profess to know any closer what you know about the Bundesliga and German football. But as a coach, you lose games. Sometimes you lose games because the players you have aren't good enough. You know, at the end of the day, they're out because of what happened against Japan. And they lost against Japan because particularly Süle, and I'm not going to single him out, but particularly him, made mistakes, and Japan showed how defensively we can keep teams out. So sometimes you can't just always blame the coach. Sometimes you don't have the players capable enough. And that's another reason.
I'm not going to single Süle out.
But you're the national team coach.
No, because at the end of the day, he's making so many changes, particularly sticking Kimmich back at right back, because he's looking for an answer. You know, you're not sticking Kimmich at right back if you've got a decent right back, because he's better going forward. So sometimes as a coach, you're having to play people in a position where you would rather play them somewhere else, but you don't have another option or another good option.
But that's where I disagree, because being a national team coach is different to being coach of Bayern Munich, where you can buy in people to solve your problems. As a national team coach, you know what you have well ahead of the tournament, and you can prepare a system that's going to work within that. And preparing it and playing just what you did at Bayern Munich is not going to be enough. And you say he's changing things around. For me, that's indecision, that he's not sure of what his best team is. And how can that be the case 3 games into a tournament when he's had plenty of games against good standards of opponents to be working things out? And it's not like there have been many, many injuries for Germany. Sure, Timo Werner missed the tournament, but I've not heard his name mentioned by anybody up to this point. So I think that it's about how he fits the cogs together, and that is your job as a coach. And the whole thing with Joachim Löw as well, if you told me that Hansi Flick wasn't in the coach right now, that it was Joachim Löw, I would have believed you because of the way that this team has played. What has really changed about Germany's performances since 2018, since 2021, until now? I don't see any change. And that's why, for me, I think that now would be the right time to make that coaching change, even if I don't think it is always the answer to change the coach.
Maybe there's just a realisation now that whilst he did some very good things ultimately at Bayern, that he's not the second coming of Guardiola or Klopp or Ancelotti or whoever has been hugely successful. That for all the reasons Archie said, that he's had all this time to work with the players and he knew his squad coming in. He had a couple of injuries, but he hasn't known his best team. He flirted with full-backs and centre-half pairings and striker pairings and one up front and Havertz in and Havertz out. That actually Hansi Flick took advantage of his timing at Bayern Munich. Right place, right time. Goes in there. It's burning down under Niko Kovac. The players hated him. The results were not great. He had lost Müller. He had lost other players. There was so many rumblings behind the scene. I'm sort of, no, Archie, no more, way more than us. And he goes in there and he is everybody's friend, which did definitely work at that period at Bayern Munich. And yeah, they got some stuff right in terms of signings and tactical stuff and had huge success. But that worked for a period. And that was just the right place for him at the right time. I think we've seen the flaws here in this guy because he's had all this time we talked about. And yet, if he was to play another game tomorrow, if they had managed to get through and they were in the knockout last 16, I'll guarantee you that German team would have changed again. Guarantee you it would have changed again.
Thomas Müller would have still started up front. I promise you. Because for some reason, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
well,
Nicholas
Füllkrug,
I don't know what he would have had to have done to get a start in this tournament. Beats me.
I didn't get it.
Now, Germany are out, Spain are still in it, but they go through in second, which means they drop into a different side of the draw now and they avoid a potential quarterfinal with Brazil. Now, it will be Morocco in the last 16, potentially Portugal in the quarterfinals, France in the semi-finals. It could be, just looking at how things could shape up for them. So how do you see things going forward now for your Spain, Luis?
Well, it's not what I see ahead, it's what we've seen today. And yes, of course, I keep my concerns about managing the mistakes at the back, trying to understand that we are going to face against a very tough Moroccan team. But I'm still confident that they got enough quality. I think that we got young players with a lot of talent, with a lot of desire, committed what Luis Enrique is trying to do with this team. But again, it's not going to be easy. Morocco is a very, very tough team, very disciplined, and that's something that we struggle to beat.
So, yeah, can't look at it going this way. But what do you think, then, when a draw does favour you, maybe, if you look at it that way, where you think, OK...
Upset Moroccans again, I see.
I'm not meaning to upset the Moroccans, but if they are...
Already been there.
It's fair enough if there's an underdog, right, which Morocco would be to Spain, fair and square, right? You'd be classed as an underdog against Spain.
Perfect. You're the coach. Why? Perfect.
So
what you've got to do as a coach is make sure that you've got your players on the toes. Everybody seeing the draw will go, do you know what? They know their favourites to beat Morocco. So as a coach, it's about making sure that confidence you're going to beat the team because you're better than them doesn't turn into complacency. So that's what Luis Enrique has to do. Make sure that the confidence, knowing you can beat this team, doesn't go overboard and you become complacent. Because that'll be their biggest problem.
Are you even thinking about the fact that you might avoid Brazil now? Well, that you will, but avoid Brazil now, at least until the later stages.
Well, if it's to fail against Morocco, what's the point, you know? Remember that I ever thought that Spain wasn't the favourites. I think in my prediction, we are completely wrong. I put Spain not even going out of the group stages.
It's OK, you had Canada and Denmark going.
Yeah, that's why my voice doesn't talk, you know. But the thing is I think that we were, you know, maybe, how do you say that? We thought that they will be fantastic because of the first game that we saw them playing. And after, we came back to reality. I think that even if they are fantastic talent, for me, they are in a move to another generation and they're not yet ready to be one of the contenders. It's what I think. Maybe I don't know enough about Spain, but I never thought that lately I saw what I saw in 2010, for example, with all that generation. We are talking about Pedri and Gavi being maybe the young Iniesta or Xavi of that national team. I'm sorry, they're not there yet. Of course, they're fantastic players. Of course, they're going to be there maybe, But we're not yet there. So to expect to be the World Cup champion, I think it's too soon for me.
In some roundabout way, today, which was maybe not that close, but certainly that close to being a disaster for Spain as the second half wore on, allows Enrique maybe to go, and I don't know his management style, to go in the dressing room, back to the hotel and say, listen, we take our foot off the gas. We think we got 7 against Costa Rica. We outplayed Germany but didn't get the result. But we think we can take our foot off the gas and we're going to win. And we're just going to go all the way. That's a reminder for everybody, even though with the changes, that you're just not at 100%, particularly now in the knockout, and we're going to go out. And that allows him to go in and do that rather than going in and trying to keep their feet on the ground from another giving somebody a pummeling. He can go into the locker room now and say, guys, take a breath. You know, that's a little kick up the backside and we need to be a lot better.
Yeah.
And just a brief one. Dale Johnson, our colleague, has been at it again and has a definitive, I believe, angle.
We start the show again.
No, I know, but it seems to, the producer just texted me. It seems Dale Johnson, who's been lying on the goal line all afternoon...
With the microscope, yeah.
This one, there's been a definitive angle that has come in to show the ball was in, and apparently it was shown, wait for this, this is the caveat, it was shown on the big screen at the ground, but it wasn't shown in the broadcast.
That's a shame.
But one of the big criticisms has been that we were all seeing one photo for like an hour, and FIFA weren't coming out to say anything. Otherwise, we weren't hearing why that did stand. So that's why there was
Dale Johnson's
all this speculation.
Just got his bed tonight staring at a line. There's a ball in it somewhere.
All right, the final word then. Luis Garcia, how far are Spain going, and does it change now that they're in this side of the bracket?
It changed, of course, but at the end, if you want to go far away on this competition, it doesn't matter who are you going to face. Now is Morocco. I think that we got enough quality to beat them. I think it's a fantastic wake-up call, the game of today, seeing that it's not going to be every day the game against Costa Rica. And the Luis Enrique needs to continue focusing on what is the next step, what are the changes that he has to do, and if all the changes they have done today have worked the way that he expected. So I expect Spain to win Morocco, but it's not going to be easy once again.
All right. Well, we will...
Hold on. Dale Johnson again.
Dale Johnson again.
No,
he's staring at the line on the ceiling, remember?
Dale,
Thank you so much to Luis Garcia and Archie Rintoul for joining us tonight on ESPN FC. It's always great to get the insight of the guys. Make sure you check us out on Extra Time over on our YouTube page. Keep up to date with the guys answering your questions and find out if it is acceptable to wear white after Labour Day.
Oh, yeah.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Just a reminder that ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid, and Belgium are exiting the World Cup at the group stage two. They needed a win against Croatia, but they could only draw 0-0. Romelu Lukaku missing some big opportunities in this game. The draw was enough, however, for Croatia to advance, while Morocco will top this group after beating Canada in the last group game 2-1.
Heartless.
My curse is over.
Your curse is over.
You've got to be heartless if you didn't at least feel some sympathy for him crying at the end.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's...
He didn't try, Lukaku. He's not fit. I mean, I get it.
Well, he had four...
I'm not trying to make excuses, the header and that.
He was so unfortunate. Oh, Crumsy, it's up to you. What do you want to see? I mean, I think it was unfortunate.
So did you feel for him, Craig, then, after this game?
Yeah, because it clearly meant, as it should do, the world to him. That we can argue, I mean, I know Stevie's not his greatest fan, and I don't think he's the greatest striker that's ever walked the planet, but he's got his fair quota of goals. He hasn't played enough games, he's not fit, and when that final whistle went, you knew that he felt that, although the team had played badly, he felt that way of, I've just missed three or four.
Yeah.
Unbelievable chances.
Yeah.
And the emotion just come through. It's like, we're out of the World Cup and I should have scored the goals to get us there.
I got to tell you, I felt terrible for him.
Yeah.
You know, after the first chance, which actually was tough because he had a defender and a goalkeeper in front of him, so he had to go wide, which is why it's hit the post in the first place. And so when that happened, Dan Thomas called me. He was like, Lukaku, Lukaku, right? And I carried on with it. But then the next chance came, and then the next one.
That's terrible.
And by the fourth one, I can tell you, I wasn't smiling. I felt awful. I felt awful for him. Any professional who doesn't feel awful for him shouldn't call themselves a professional, because nobody likes that, to see that happening to anybody.
The thing, what he thinks in his head, in his mind, is, I could have been the hero. I could have saved that average team, and we could have gone through if I would have scored at least one of those goals or those chances. And he said, and people's going to hammer me because I should have scored at least one, you know. And we all agree with that. And I feel sympathy for him, because I know he's a hard worker. I know he's been unfortunate. And it's just, he went every time in the bad place for him to put it in. That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense.
And well, the easiest chance he was going to get, I say the easiest, there was a couple of easy ones, but arguably the one at the back post that he was just about to put it in with his left foot, happy days, all my pain's over. Young, is it Gvardiol?
The young
Croatian left-sided centre-back, made one of the best last-ditch challenges. Probably. I mean, it was super, super defending, and I think that summed it up for Romelu Lukaku. But that's kind of the Lukaku story. Shall we get to the main course?
Let's get to Roberto Martinez, because the problems run way deeper than what's happened today with Lukaku, don't they?
We've just talked about Hansi Flick, team selection, juggling, changing things, unsure. What about this guy? Back three to start, and a back four. The more changes today, which he had to do.
No Hazard in the 11.
And they played better. Oh! Eden Hazard dropped. Oh, Eden Hazard got 5 minutes. Everybody else came on before Eden Hazard.
I don't think.
That's a shock, isn't it? And that's the guy that played in your first two games.
I don't think anybody was picking Hazard today.
No.
Let's be honest.
And I think it was an absolute nail in the coffin that he'd admitted he made the wrong choices by the fact that he was the last player to come on. And he came on when he did. And I think, when you look at big decisions, and that's what he's been brought in to do, and I know the Belgium camp has had its problems, and there's been allegedly some arguments in that, but he went into the tournament with one of the most out-of-form players at big clubs in the last 3 years. Gave him the captaincy, as Stevie has mentioned, which put more pressure on. He could have went to Eden Hazard before the tournament and said, listen, if he was clever, and said, listen, come on, you know the score. This is a big tournament. You've not played enough. So I don't know if I'm going to play you. So it's Vertonghen or Alderweireld or De Bruyne. They're going to lead the team, because I can't convince myself that I'm going to play you.
I think it was.
But he did.
I think it was stubborn in a way that they had their chances to be that golden generation that everybody's talking about in 2014, in 2016, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 2018.
This was the second oldest 11 in a World Cup game this
year. Yeah, that's what it is. That's, you were at the end of a cycle. I told everybody about the 2002 French team, where the coach should have had the guts to say half of the team, myself included, bye-bye. Bye-bye, you're not there anymore. You're not part of the present. You know, for sure not part of the future, but we have to recreate that. It's what I said in a message to Didier Deschamps. Make sure that from 2018 to now, you will have some changes to make sure that you can still win the World Cup. With that Belgic team, no, there was no chance with all those players. They are all talented. They have a fantastic career, but they're too old or they're too... They are at the end of a cycle. That's the real reason, and that's very important. And he tried to convince himself that he could do it with those players. It was too stubborn.
Well, he confirmed in the post-match presser that he took the decision to leave at the end of his contract already before the World Cup. Right decision?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we were talking about Hansi Flick earlier about decision-making. There is no argument. Did he actually get any decision correct? I'm not so sure he did. Whether it's team selection, whether it's making Hazard the captain, you know, the unrest amongst the team as well is partly down to him as well. Part of his job is to be able to smell out problems and put the fires out before they start. So I can't think of one thing in this whole tournament that he's actually got. I'll tell a lie. He did. He got one right. He didn't play Hazard today. That is the only thing he's got right in this tournament. So, yeah, unfortunately, it's going to end poorly for him, but it's the right
decision. I don't think
right
many
decision.
Of us at Belgium... Frank was talking about the squad and that. I don't think many... I never fancied Belgium. I thought they would get out of the group. I don't remember what my bracket was. I think I said Belgium would get out. I don't know. I'm not surprised they haven't looked great. I'm flabbergasted that... I mean, Wales played Ramsey and Bale, right? But Wales, and I don't think it was the smartest decision, but they really haven't got... You look behind, you go, all right, you're playing. He has... All right, he doesn't have a Hazard of 2015 at Chelsea or whatever it was, but he still has guys that are playing at a good level and are actually fit. And he still made that decision. Now, that's one of many, but it was a big one. Let's be honest... The game that they won, the opening game,
they got battered.
They got pummeled by Canada.
Yeah.
Pummeled. That's how bad this Belgian side have been in this competition.
I think when the player comes and the coach comes to explain that everything goes well into the group, you know, and justify themselves, in ways you know that there are problems inside and issues are there. De Bruyne. Comment that he made that they were too old, then the answer from Vertonghen, we all know that exists. We are sure that they have issues inside the squad, and that it's impossible to, if you don't stick together, it doesn't work.
So another team that's got to go back to the drawing board, but it's Morocco who topped that group. Many would not have seen this one coming. They did get a win over Canada on the final day here, securing a World Cup knockout spot for the first time since 1986. They've been fun to watch, haven't they?
Well, it's only fair. I mean, what they showed during the three games, it's only fair. And they are talented players. And it's going to be very, very hard to Spain to fight against that Moroccan team. They have their chances to go to the quarterfinal for sure.
They're committed. When you watch them playing, they're committed. If you're a football fan, I don't care what team it is you're playing, I don't care the name of the jersey, I don't care what national team it is, what club team it is. When you go and watch a game of football, you want to see players that are committed, who give everything, and it gets you excited. That's what they do. That's what this team does. They make you want to watch them play.
You've got some good players as well in there. We've seen Ziyech, Enesiri.
It's a bit like Senegal now in a way that they've got England and, you know, most people just think because of the injuries and to Mane and the suspension of Idrissa Gueye, and, you know, they think it's just going to be a walkover. But for Senegal, they're energetic. They've got a bit of belief about them now. They've got some pace and wide positions. For Morocco, they've got some good organisation, some big, strong guys and a little bit of flair in the attacking areas. Yeah, it's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of sort of chasing the ball around against Spain. We've talked about their stats over the games in terms of their passing. But hey, knockout stage, be hard to beat. Spain have an off day. Who knows? Better to be there than not.
Yeah, that is the case. We are definitely seeing some of the nice stories shaping up, and the group stages aren't quite over yet. Let's just take in a look at the top half of the bracket. That's where Croatia will find themselves. Obviously, Croatia were the beaten finalists in 2018. By the way, Ivan Rakitic thanked Lukaku on Instagram afterwards. A little bit heartless.
He what?
He thanked him afterwards. Oh, thank Lukaku afterwards on Instagram.
They don't get much lower than that.
I'll tell you what, I'd get on a flight to Spain and he'd be getting a punch in the nose.
They don't get much lower than that.
Let's talk a little bit about the top half of the bracket. The Netherlands, USA, Saturday. The two teams facing off in the last 16. Let's get the latest from the US camp from Sam Borden.
Christian Pulisic said it was excruciating, both the injury he sustained scoring that game-winning goal against Iran and having to explain the specifics of what a pelvic contusion is to the world media afterward. In terms of playing on Saturday against the Netherlands, Pulisic wouldn't guarantee 100% that he's going to be out there, but he did say he's going to try everything he can to find his way onto the field.
It was very painful, and it just, you know, that bone is there for a reason, to protect you, I think, and I hit it well, and it was sore, but like I said, I'm getting better. I'm taking it day by day right now, and I will do everything in my power to you know, work with this medical team and make sure that I can play.
Pulisic's goal, which sent the U.S. to the knockout rounds, was his first in a World Cup and brought to mind for a lot of fans Landon Donovan's famous goal against Algeria in 2010. When Pulisic was asked about what it was like to have had his World Cup moment, though, he said, "I hope I haven't had it yet. I hope it's still to come." In Doha, Sam Borden, ESPN.
Thanks so much, Sam. So, Netherlands against... What are you laughing for?
Well, because I know what's coming.
We've all had a bash at trying to figure out...
I know what's coming.
..what pelvic contusion actually means. We pretty much know what it means, but how long they're going to be out and if he's going to play or not.
He's going to be all right. I think he's kind of...
There you go. He's going to be all right.
I said that. I followed him. He said that. He made an interview after the game and he said after the...
Day by day, he said.
Yeah, but he said he feels the pain when he runs. But if he doesn't move...
Unfortunately.
You've got to run. That's a bit of a problem.
You're giving a little...
That's a bit of a problem.
Give him a little injection. He's not going to feel anything. That's all right. Anti-inflammatory, he's just going to be all right. You're like the old days.
Excuse me.
It's a difficult conundrum for Berhardt in a way, isn't it? Because, you know, we talk a lot about concussions and how it's to be taken out of a player's decision-making, particularly on the field, and that's rightly so. Here we have a scenario where, you know, Pulisic is thinking, what if we go out to the Netherlands? What if I don't play? Do you risk leaving it to the quarterfinals if we get there? And, you know, maybe he tries to risk it. I mean, I suppose in some sense, we have five substitutions, so it's not the disaster it might have been with three subs. A little bit of extra leeway.
And he can't
risk... if you're close to fitness, Frank...
You go for it.
You go for it.
Of course you go for it. And you don't risk more. It's like a dead leg, what he had. You know, it's a kick. So it's very painful, and that I know. But if you get it warm,
and I'll just
you can
try
go
it on
through
you.
It.
I'll tell you what.
Give me here. Yeah. Kick. Yeah.
Do you think he'll be back for the next show?
No chance.
No chance. I need my 3 days off.
Did he not say he was an actor at one point?
Well, allegedly.
Listen, what is most important is whether Pulisic makes it into Stevie's combined 11 for the Netherlands USA.
This was interesting.
Go on, Stevie, talk us through it.
Hey, why have you got
to... Well, you've got to play Pulisic. We don't know whether he's fit or not.
It's 4.5-ish.
Whilst he has a chance, you've got to play him. Depay. I mean, you can't.
Depay's not played.
And only has him. You're not going to play American centre forward.
He started one game.
Come close to even seeing the goal, never mind scoring. And of course, Gakpo.
Yeah, Gakpo.
Arguably the player of the tournament so far, he has to play. In the middle of the park, Moussa and Adams, I think, Absolutely. You know, I don't think you play classic.
What about McKennie? McKennie's been excellent.
Well, it was either McKennie or De Jong, and quite frankly, right. I think you've got to go with De Jong because he's a better footballer. And if you're playing that three, you've got Adams and Musa to do a lot of the a lot of the dirty work and let De Jong play.
What is the goalkeeper name? What are you? No,
well, I couldn't.
You picked the two.
I couldn't pick between the two of them. No,
really?
To be honest.
Okay. Because they're as bad as the other, or they're as good?
No, because they've both let in a goal. They've both had 10 saves. I mean, everything that's happened is exactly the
same. You have to choose one.
I bet that sounds like some.
All right, I'm going to choose Turner then because he plays with the Revs. Or he used to play with the Revs. That's about it.
That sounds like something that happened. Somebody says to you when you go to the doctor, I'm really sorry, but you've got no put Turner.
No put Turner.
What's that?
What does he say? You've got to choose one.
And you took Luis Van Gaal.
I took Louis Van Gaal over Berhalter. Yeah, I mean, seriously? Are you actually questioning that?
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on. If there was one thing it was impossible to get wrong in that, was choosing the coach.
Oh.
Come on, let's be honest.
All right, well, we'll see if see if Sebi's calmed down after his reaction to Mexico's exit.
Oh.
On Football America's latest edition, coming live from Qatar every single night throughout the World Cup. Make sure to check it out. There'll no doubt be a lot more talk about the US. Make sure to join us on ESPN2 on Saturday from 8 a.m. Eastern. We will be looking ahead to that game between the USA and Netherlands, and we hope you will join us for it.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A reminder that ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid. And we're just taking a look at the Group H standings here, with Ghana and Uruguay facing off in Group H tomorrow to see who follows the already qualified Portugal through to the last 16. Is this going to be a grudge match for Ghana after what happened in 2010? Well, Luis Suarez, who had the handball that ball going in for Ghana, and then they missed the ensuing penalty.
They got the red card, got sent off.
He said, "I didn't miss the penalty. It is not my fault." Let's send it out to Qatar for more on this game with Alexis, Jules and Nadim.
Yeah, Kay, we are back at our fabulous Doha set with this skyline, and it's been a World Cup filled with drama and a day filled with drama today. But we're turning our eyes to tomorrow, because that is when Ghana go up against Uruguay yet again in a World Cup. Time for revenge, Jules. Everyone's trying to paint it like it's going to be a grudge match, Jules, and Ghana still feel hard done. They're still hanging on to what happened, and Luis Suarez on his hand.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think revenge might be a bit too strong here. It was 12 years ago. It's a long time. You know, some of the Ghanaian players...
It's a lot of hurt, Jules.
No, I know, but some of those Ghanaian players who will play tomorrow were very young young at the time.
But they feel the hurt.
I'm sure. Although Luis Suarez didn't miss the penalty.
Yeah.
You know, Asamoah Gyan had that chance, you know, and penalties... XG on a penalty is 0.8 because they get scored 8 out of 10 times. So... So they could still have won that game and qualified and not go to penalty and then were heartbroken like that. However, where I see this game very differently is, for me, Ghana are the favourite. before this game because they've played better than Uruguay, who've been a mess. They have more certainties. They have a good direction of what they want to do and how to approach this game. Whereas for Uruguay, they're nowhere near there at all. So it might be different, but this is the chance for them to put it right then.
Well, I also had Ghana going through in this one, so I'm glad to hear that you have them as favorites in this. Nadim, I don't think you had Ghana going through because you're still salty about how they kept Nigeria out of the World Cup. But no problem.
Did they knock out Nigeria?
Who do you see going through in this one along with Portugal?
Well, this pains me to say it, but I do think Ghana are going to go through. I do think it. I'm going to get behind them.
You're a black star, really.
You know, it's not even that. Like, 100%, I hope they go through. I really, really do. I think them representing Africa and representing West Africa specifically is a huge deal. And I know he says, you know, revenge isn't a thing.
It's a thing.
It's definitely a thing. It's 100%
you want revenge on Ghana.
It's 100% a thing. And do you know what I would ask you? If you were on the line, would you have thrown your hands up?
I think I might have a bad reflex there.
I don't think you would. I don't think you would. It's not
have
natural.
You ever been in that position while playing where you could have saved it or you could have done something a bit similar? Be honest.
No, do you know what? I don't think I have. And the reason I say that is because, like, I've got a big grievance with handballs, yeah? Because when people say, like, defender's arms in a natural position made itself bigger, as the defender, why would you ever want to touch the ball with your hand in the box? So it's not something that's in your mind because you spend most of your time trying not to do it. So lo and behold, it's usually the attackers that are trying to cheat. But, you know.
I was just going to say, he's not one.
Yeah, as Make if he's never will. You.
Because Jules is an attacker.
He's
Did
a very,
you say
he's a very good
defensive
attacker.
Mid?
No, he does everything. He's
a what a man. He's an all-rounder.
He's a special number eight at the moment.
Thank you.
He's doing
thank
very
you
well.
Very much.
All right, so both of you have Ghana going through then.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, love to hear that. Good boy, Nadim. I'm proud of you.
Put
that grudge much aside.
Growth.
All right, well, like we said, Portugal already through. They're also in action against South Korea tomorrow. But Cristiano Ronaldo, he stays in the headlines, Jules. Let's be honest with that. And he has been back in the headlines. We know by now that he's not with a club after what happened at Manchester United. We're hearing that he could be in for a massive payday in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's right, with Al Nassr, where the offer, I believe, is with Cristiano's lawyers and they're studying it. He hasn't said yet if he wants to take it or not. I think he's right. You know, take your time. There's no rush. He might get other offers come January, for example, after the World Cup, especially if he does well in the World Cup. So this one is there. You know it's there. You can take it anytime. You can reject it anytime. See what else is on the table for you. Exotic leagues, maybe not so exotic. Maybe in Europe, maybe one of the big five leagues. Maybe a top club in those leagues. I don't know.
It's a lot of money we're hearing. Like the amount we pay.
But I was going to say,
per day or per year?
Yeah. But nothing will ever come close to that. Financially, I mean. So, and I think he knows it. So he's got this. He can choose the huge financial offer. And we'll have, I'm hoping for him, other offers that are with less money, but maybe a more interesting project. Football wise.
Do you think there's too much money to turn down?
Cristiano has earned $1 billion already in his career.
So that's the way you'd see it if you were
100%.
Him, do you think?
Okay. So you can choose more money off the pitch anyway than on it.
Yeah, as well. And to be fair, a lot of that money offered on the table is also due with some of sponsors of that club and everything. It's not just pure wages. I'm hoping and I want to believe that right now Cristiano doesn't make his next move based on money. Mm. Not now. Not when it's this last, you know, this is the last few years of his career. You can't base
but
that on money.
But that's when people usually do it, though. For anyone else, that's when they usually do it.
Yeah, but a lot of them see that as, oh, this is the last big paycheck.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, a bit like, well, no, I'm kidding. But not,
oh.
but
not for him.
On the show today.
Not
wow.
for him. Not after everything that he's done, all the money that he's earned. Surely he has to go for pleasure now. And I'm really not sure that Saudi Arabia would be where he takes the most pleasure.
All right, well, let's focus now on Group G because we've got our resident Switzerland expert here, Nadim. The Swiss in action against Serbia, Cameroon up against Brazil. Who do we see getting through? The Brazilians.
Whoever scores the most goals, I guess, you know.
No, but Brazil is already through.
Sorry, if anyone doesn't understand what's going on, you need to watch episodes from like 2 weeks ago. There was an incident, but anyway.
But anyways, you've learned a lot about Switzerland, so how do you see your boys?
Yeah, I see them going through. I had them going through in my bracket, and I'm going to double down. It's going to happen. I think, obviously, Brazil. Feel like they're a class apart, but with Switzerland, they do actually move the ball pretty well. They can control games quite well, and that Serbian side, even though they had the high of, say, being 3-1 up, the fact is they showed a significant weakness. So I think personally they will sort of back me up, and if they finish second in the group, it means that I can go on another day on the show because it shows I might have a clue what I'm talking about.
Well, Cameroon are also in that group. They're still in it with a small shout there, especially with the fact that they go up against Brazil. But we're hearing since Brazil are already through, they could play a B-side.
Have you seen the B-side?
Yeah.
Well, the B-side's still lit, but Jules, Cameroon, any chance?
I, as much as I would love them to, of course, I don't think this one is possible. When your reserve front four is Anthony, Rodrigo, Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
So Switzerland.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. We're going with the Swiss. Right. Now that that's out of the way, boys, let's talk Belgium. Let's talk Belgium, because what a story of the day. Jules, I know you were at that game. It was just a draw with Croatia, but that was enough to send them crashing out on what's been a disappointing match, a disappointing tournament, and probably the fact that this is a golden generation under a manager that we respect in Roberto Martinez, but there's still nothing to show for it. So we can probably call it a disappointing era for Belgian football.
Yeah, I mean, it depends where, obviously, you gauge the disappointment or not. They, obviously, 2016 quarterfinal defeat against Wales in that Euros, that's a failure. 2018, I think, was their competition, really, and that loss in the semi-final against the French on a set piece, really thin margin again. They could have maybe won on another day. This time didn't go their way, and I think psychologically, they're still hurting them. Then another quarterfinal in the Euros in 2021 against Italy, the future winner. So you've lost against France, the future winner. You've lost against Italy, who went on to win as well. And today it felt like really the end of that generation. Although after the game, Vertonghen said, "I'm staying." He's 35. Okay. Alderweireld said, "I'm staying." He's 33. Okay. Dries Mertens, who's 35, said, "Yeah, I think I'm going to stay." I'm like, "What? Hang on. Come on."
Well, you say that, but so Martinez has left, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is such an interesting time for them. And it's not because the next World Cup's in 4 years. It's because the next Euros are in 18 months. And for those players, those Euros are happening at the end of the next season. And I think for me, I can picture what those players will look like next season. But I can't see what they'll look like in 4 years' time. So it's a tough position to sort of want to retire. But although...
It's not, I think.
Although, you say that. But I believe the bigger thing comes with who they hire next.
Yeah.
They don't have the biggest budget and all that. But the next person coming in may essentially retire those players themselves anyway.
He should.
If he wants to build for the future, he should.
No, but you start
Jules
the cycle.
Jules is ready to retire also.
No, but listen, hear me out.
He's retired Luis Suarez. Yeah. He's going to retire this Belgian team.
Tata Martino.
Tata Martino, he's retired.
All of that. This is a new cycle you start. This is not an 18-month cycle. It cannot be. So already, whoever comes in, Thierry Henry wants the job, for example. I don't know if they would give it to him. He's part of the technical staff of Martinez. But you start a new cycle now, a new 4 or 6 year cycle, not 18 months. So whoever comes in, could be you, could be me, could be. You already have to think about 2026, not even that Euros 2024 in Germany. Your aim and your long-term plan has to include the 2026.
But you don't need experience with that as well, though.
Yeah, but you've got some 31-year-old Eden Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne. So it's not like you're going to go from getting rid of Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Witsel, Mertens, who are all 33 or 35, and then find yourself with 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds. Mm. You'll have, I think, the right mix. But whoever comes in will have to have the courage to say to Vertonghen and Alderweireld, listen, you've been great. You've got over 100 caps, but this has to stop now.
Well, it'll be interesting what whomever comes in probably has to say to Romelu Lukaku, because we know he had a hat-trick of chances in that match. It didn't go through. These boys had a heated discussion downstairs about which goal he probably should be flamed for more, but we can't even get to that right now. Okay, we're probably going to have this discussion off-camera, but massively disappointing day for the likes of Belgium and Germany, and this World Cup just keeps on bringing the drama. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Alexis. Gab and Jules also with their podcast. The latest one will be dropping on Friday, that coming too from Qatar. And check out Sunderland against Millwall Saturday, 7:30 a.m. Eastern. It's on ESPN Plus. You can keep up to date with the championship there every single weekend.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, that will do it for the latest edition of the show. But stay right where you are, because these guys will be answering your questions on Extra Time.
Maybe.
They will.
Extra Time is brought to you by Globant. Thank you so much for being with us. Stevie, Craig and Frank here with me, Kay Murray. And we've got your questions coming in here. And I did something for you today, Frank.
What did you do?
I wore white after Labor Day.
Oh, true, true. I was told that after Labor Day, which is September 4th, is that correct? You're not allowed to wear white until spring.
Okay. According to who?
Alejandro Moreno.
Oh, the fashionista himself.
Well, you know. But it's like 7 months without wearing white. I don't know. American people will let us know if it's true or not.
White ripped jeans. Where are they tonight?
Well, I got rid of them because I didn't want to upset anybody, you know. I'm okay.
Fortunately, we don't wear much white. What about a white golf top? I've seen people wearing white golf shorts.
No, you're not. White. It's forbidden.
Not allowed.
Not allowed. It's frowned upon, how you say, frowned upon? Like you say? Like, it's not forbidden, but it's...
Frowned upon.
Well done.
Frowned upon. It's like your turtlenecks.
No, that's very well. That's like Sean Connery told me, you know. And what is his favorite recipe? Food?
Goulash.
I love it.
He's dying to laugh. Yeah. All right, Frank Leboeuf, first bald man in France.
First what?
The name of the person who sent this in is Frank Leboeuf, first bald man in France. Remember, you were
made it
possible for everyone else to be proud to be bald.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Everyone's thoughts, including Kay, on Japan winning Group E, losing to Costa Rica but beating Germany and Spain while playing relatively well. So Japan winning Group E.
So what is
the
question?
It's a complete shock, isn't it? It's a complete shock. Everybody had Germany and Spain going through comfortably. But it's certainly anything but comfortable.
Now, the thing is, it can be an accident if you beat Germany 2-1, you know, and have the same scenario against Spain. And you say, is it an accident twice? Or maybe that's the way they want to play.
Yeah.
18% of the possession of the ball says a lot about how you want to play. So it's everything but an accident for me.
You'll take losing to Costa Rica if it means that you beat Spain and Germany and win the group, right?
I mean, it's not a surprise. Well, maybe it is. Definitely a surprise they won the group. I mean, less so if they'd squeezed through. But it's not their first rodeo, you know. They've been in World Cups before and they've been quite competitive. Got a lot of guys playing in Bundesliga and other leagues around the world. A decent side.
Sure.
However, finishing top.
Well done.
I don't think anybody saw that one coming, right? Why have there been so many second half goals this tournament?
Extra time. I don't know.
You think just feeling each other out in the group?
Yeah, a lot of games have got really exciting towards the end, haven't they? And, you know, just permutations and all that. Maybe players are getting a little bit tired. I know the games have been closer together.
Maybe a lot of changes.
Yeah, maybe.
Everybody's making 4 and 5 changes every time, so that kind of disrupts the shape and the gaps and everything else. Maybe that's the reason. It's tough. Put your finger on it.
All right, question for all the guys.
I love how you just score that out. Done.
In case, you know, forget, ask the question again.
Done.
Yeah.
All right, question for all the guys. In your honest opinion, what does Canada have to do to be an actual competitive team in 2026?
I think there's one, man. I think we'll go to the
bracket, man.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I was very surprised by the way that
not have you say that they're going to do well would be a start.
Yeah, yeah. I was very disappointed by David playing at France. You know, I saw him playing for Lille and he did very well just before the World Cup. So I thought it would be a very, very much a plus for that team at front and scoring goals, which wasn't the case. I think it's there one plan for Mr. Herdman. Is that correct? The name.
Herdman.
And that in fact is trying to put Antonio Davis in different position to try to change the tactic, but it's too much demanding to only one player. I think Canada should be able to have more players interesting and being more effective. Well, you know, I was disappointed. So
the first game was almost.
I'm happy to hear Antonio Davis is.
Did you say Antonio Davis? Alfonso Davis.
Alfonso Davis.
Well, you know.
I didn't want to say anything.
Oh, yeah.
But it was almost like the first game where they were brilliant. didn't win, played really well. It's almost like, oh, we're at a World Cup. It's been since 1986, and this is the euphoria, and it was like they took that on the field, and then reality kicked in that they'd lost, and then they had to play a Croatia side. They started brilliantly again against Croatia. They got that goal from Antonio.
Sorry, Fred.
The first goal. No, but you're right. You know,
Alfonso Davies, and then the quality.
No, I think the first game when they should have lost against Belgium,
yeah,
in fact, killed them. And it was quite unfair that he didn't win against...
Here's a question for you. How many, when you were getting off the aircraft...
From here?
entering the United States to go through immigration, when you were getting off the aircraft,
yeah,
how many steps down the aircraft were you before you thought, I think I've made a pig's ear of this bracket? I don't think Canada and Denmark are going to be in the same... How many steps down the
aircraft? No, I'm a dreamer, and I believe in fairy tale. That's why I put Denmark, you know, winning the World Cup
a dreamer.
He's acting in Supertramp on my very first show.
Not a drummer, a dreamer.
I know when he came in the studio. The first day it was in the studio, he went, you know, you're all going to be struggling if this really happens. We were all
yeah, right.
Frankie.
You know, I want to talk to Canada.
Hang on,
Denmark.
You did what Herdman did.
You betrayed me, guys, you know. Look at what they're doing to me right now. Next time.
You did what Herdman did, having right, all that bravado, telling us we were all in trouble.
Right, that's the one, that's the Canadian one.
No,
do the one in Danish to the camera.
I should just say Denmark, too. Denmark, you know, guys, you know. I talked to Schmeichel, I talked to it, because I don't say
Schmeichel.
You say Schmeichel?
James Bond.
Sean Connery. Schmeichel. Peter Schmeichel.
Goulash. Okay, we say we're going to do a very short extra time.
You ruined Elsa's birthday.
Oh, what?
You ruined Elsa's birthday, the Danish lady.
Really?
Yeah, remember?
Oh, yes, Elsa. Her name is... I'm very sorry, Elsa.
Yes.
Happy birthday again. whatever. Carry
Frank,
on.
Leave
me alone.
Frank, do you see any of the shock teams, Australia, Japan and Morocco, progressing to the quarterfinals?
You know what? Until yesterday, I thought I had a curse, you know. I was the curse for any team that I was cheering for. So I'm not going to say cheering for. So I'm not going to say anything. I think having seen so many surprises right now, I believe that any team can beat any team. I really think that at the end of
Poland?
No.
Well, France?
Why not? Yeah, no, why not? You know. thing is, we'll have to make a conclusion maybe at the end of the World Cup to see if all the so-called team have the level that we thought they should have. I think, I don't know if it's the so-called small teams who are better or the other who are
worse. Big teams are worse.
Yeah, so we're gonna see, because I think there isn't any too much also differences between, you want to take the battery off or not?
No, you need to put the ball away. You're getting too philosophical.
You're getting too deep.
No. Well, you know, we are here to analyse football as much as we can.
Anyway, if somebody's overdoing it, that's what you do.
I'm very disappointed
put
with
the
most
ball away.
Big teams. Very right. Disappointed.
Any big team that you're not disappointed with yet?
I would say Brazil.
All right.
But in France as well, you know, they made changes the last game. Otherwise, they've been good.
The next person who's written in is called Frank's Restaurant Shorts. Frank Shorts.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think Spain was content with finishing second so they would play Morocco instead of Croatia?
But they will be now. I don't think they would have been with 30 minutes to go when they were staring at oblivion in the face. I think they'll be very happy that they played Morocco instead of Croatia, but no.
I couldn't believe it when I was sitting watching one of the games on my phone. I think it was the Spain game, so that was kind of secondary. Germany game was up. And then when I heard the words Spain are out, I went, what?
Yeah, that's true.
And I was looking at the clock. I knew they'd made all those changes, and I knew Japan had got back in when they scored. Then they scored the second. And then it was panic stations, and I was like, Spain are out? It's hard to get your head around that, happening.
But do you believe Luis Enrique that he didn't know at any point what was going on elsewhere?
That's just wrong.
Yeah,
no. That is completely wrong.
Well, so I mean,
who does that?
Either he doesn't know the permutations, which he had to have done, and he had to have people on the technical side, or just behind it, telling him what the scores were.
Sure.
And who was getting... I mean, his wasn't coming down to bookings like the Poland game and Argentina.
Is he that arrogant that he just... he completely dismissed that they weren't going through? Is he that arrogant?
Or just maybe dismissing anybody with the conspiracy theories that Spain settled for the loss, well, knowing that they'd be second.
I don't think anybody who's in the game thinks they settled for the loss, because at one point they were actually out. And you can't take that risk.
I think those some people are talking about maybe the last 10 minutes where they knew that Germany couldn't go back.
Because they had to score five goals, I think. Yeah.
So maybe then they decided to let it go because... it
wasn't so important.
But we'll see. Again, they have to play against Morocco. It's not going to be easy, for sure.
For all, Ziyech is on fire. Yeah. If he continues this display, Potter surely has to start him. Thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he plays like he plays now, of course you have to play. Ziyech is one of the best players in the world if he's at 100%. We love his finesse, his finishing, everything, his crosses. He didn't show that yet for Chelsea, and we're still looking for it. But if the World Cup can launch his secondary career, let's say, we would love that at Chelsea.
Depends what he does when he goes back. It's the same thing with Pulisic in a way. I don't think it changes a lot other than the manager going, oh, that was a good side of you at the World Cup. Can you bring that to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Potter is, apart from the players not getting injured, and it doesn't help him any unless the player can come back and replicate that.
Probably, maybe they need sometimes a wake-up call, you know, and that's maybe for him the possibility.
The problem is...
what do you have?
Somebody like Zayg, when you come back...
What do you have?
What do you have? What do you have? Listen, don't ask somebody that question.
So for you, if you're a manager and there's a player away and he plays like... Even if a guy who doesn't normally play, somebody like Zayg, goes away, plays for his international team just on one of the international breaks and has like a worldie.
And
we come back into training and you can see the difference in them. It depends how long that lasts, as Craig
said.
Of course. Because if you've got a decision to make between two players and you're not quite sure, and you've got a guy in Zayg who's just come off being unbelievable, then you're going to go with him.
Of course.
But, like Craig said, if that one game, it goes back to what it used to be, and see you later.
It can be worse after.
Yeah. See you later.
If it lasts as long as that thing on his lip, I mean, it won't work.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what he was looking for there. Yeah.
So it's like... Is that lunch?
No, I don't leave in it.
That'd be the lipstick.
I don't leave in
it. That was the lipstick that he...
Yeah. You notice when he finishes lunch, he's got a internal belt, like Hoover.
Oh, really?
Vacuum anything around the area. Don't walk past the area within a metre. You might get sucked in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't usually miss much anyway. So.
No?
Okay. Don't you go stealing his chocolate, though?
It has been known. Now, he did make... he made a couple of schoolboy errors, and then he texted me, and I texted him and said, schoolboy error, and he went, not an error, did it on purpose.
It wasn't an error.
No.
You left it out for him.
He doesn't want to.
I left the bag of chocolate biscuits, all different kinds.
Yes.
Club biscuits, Kit Kats, an assortment, right?
Yep. I don't know.
And everybody knew where they were, and I knew he knew where they were, and had no problem with having a biscuit. But he didn't have a biscuit. He had about four of them. And then he sends me a message.
I wasn't alone.
Schoolboy error.
Who else was involved?
Well, you must have been getting out the window, throwing them out of people walking past then.
No, Dan.
Because half of them were missing.
Dan Thomas.
There you go, Stevie.
Dan Thomas
was involved as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't be bringing in wine gums in.
No.
All right. Steve, will you please, please, please rant at Lukaku and Zula? Bad performance.
No, I can't. You can't. As I said in the show, if you don't feel bad for Lukaku, then you've got no heart.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got no heart.
What about Zula? Because you said you weren't going to say any bad things about him, and then you proceeded to say really bad things about him during the show.
No. In some ways, I actually feel bad for him as well. The fact that they keep playing him. You know, if a guy's making mistake after mistake after mistake, and yet he's put back in the fire line, then guess what's going to happen usually? He's going to make another mistake.
But, you know, on top of it, I think people, you know, they focus on the players that we are talking about, but Rüdiger today made a big mistake. Nobody talked about it because normally he's excellent and he does the job, but he tried to chip the ball over the guy and he missed it, and Neuer saved the goal. But it could have been big time, where Süle today didn't do any mistake. Well,
but the problem is, when you have a player like Süle playing next to you,
you get fragile.
You're always on edge because you're wondering whether he's going to make a mistake, and so you end up being in the wrong position because you're looking to try and cover for what he might do wrong. That affects the whole team. So when he's playing game after game, you've got a goalkeeper and you've got the other people in the back line who are not quite sure what he's going to do. That's a disaster for everybody. Everybody.
Why do I have a hard time to look at you in your eyes today? Because I think your tie is very flashy. I don't know. Is that not... Don't you think? It's bright, isn't it?
It's bright,
He likes to brighten up.
Yeah, exactly.
He likes to tie it in with with the extra time behind. It's a sort of colour theme. He sort of blends with the...
To be fair, I kind of made up for you. You're a bit bland today, aren't you?
Yeah. Is that a kind of Celtic colours or...?
it actually is, yeah.
Yeah.
But a Rangers fan, I probably... Yeah. I'm a little Celtic-y today.
Yeah. Frank, he's called your dress sense bland today. Bland, he said.
Well, it is bland.
Bland.
But he's bland.
Bland is kind of...
Am I?
No. Stevie's word's not mine.
Am I?
Like a dish with no taste. Not no taste stylistically.
Well, let's the viewers, you know, saying what they want to say. Maybe on extra time, on the internet, you know, you can tell us what you think about the way I dress, you know. Even the watch, you know, goes with the blue of my coat, or my jacket, sorry. And everything goes with my jeans, different colors. I have the shoes, but mine's a red. With the red here, I mean, come on.
Frank, why don't you ask him?
Who, him?
The viewer.
Oh, the viewers. Yeah, tell me, guys, what do you think about me? Will I care? I'm not sure about that, but...
He was just defending you earlier, saying that Ale had no right to say anything about your fashion, and now you've just gone in yourself.
Yeah, well, that's true, by the way.
I just don't want to say it.
Are you a fashionista?
Hey, you're in the right chair. That almost does what you did.
Yeah, you're a fashionista.
You said absolutely nothing like what I said.
What did you say?
I was talking about Ale Moreno. I wasn't talking about Frankie.
So you agreed with Ale?
No.
Oh.
He didn't like his white ripped jeans?
He didn't see it. He didn't watch it. I watched the show yesterday.
Have you got white ripped jeans?
Yeah.
You're too old for that.
Yeah, it's what my wife told me, true. But
those days have gone, Frankie.
Yeah, I know. But it's still okay.
They should be coming in here on a skateboard.
You know, I'm so happy that I come like 15 days a year, you know, and no more than that, because I take all the blames. Then I go back to France, then I see you being very serious and sometimes too serious. Then I come back, brings a little bit of positivity, get all the blame again.
And what he's saying is you're all grumpy and boring and miserable.
I love how he's saying...
So you bring positivity and the energy to this place.
Blandness. Yeah.
You also started the bald craze for all men. Mm-hmm. That you made it
first man in France.
People don't see Craig Burley smiling that so much, you know, for 15 years.
There was a comment that when Frank's in the studio, you're the happiest you are year.
I'm not. It's a forced smile.
Oh, he's an actor now. And he wants to be the actor.
Well, at least we've got one actor in the company.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing a bit of acting. I believe it's quite easy.
Well, you don't have the goulash style.
I think I'm going to ask Schmeichel.
Or Antonio Davies.
Sorry, but in French we say Peter Schmeichel. We don't say Schmeichel because the CH is sh.
Okay. We'll pardon your French.
I'm sorry for Alfonso Davies, of course. But I call...
We got another one.
I think I saw one day Sadio Mane. I call him, I don't know.
One more
Sadio.
Question, which I already know the answer to for you, Stevie. If you're a player who just got knocked out, would you be excited to return to your club team right away, or would you just want to hit the beach?
Well, I'm not a beach man.
Depend on the beach.
Yeah, I'm not a beach man.
In Scotland,
it would be somewhere else. It wouldn't be a beach.
Yeah, I'd want a break.
Yeah.
You want a break?
Aye.
Yeah.
Well, you don't deserve a break. You've been out, you know, you go back to your club, you work hard. You don't deserve a break.
Why aren't you a beach man?
Ha ha ha!
Enough said.
Oh my God. What happened, Kay?
Ginger haired, pasty faced Scotsman, why are you not a beach man?
He's also scared of the sharks, is that right?
I tell you what, I'm scared of the sea. Don't like the water.
Are you more scared of the sharks or of the sun?
Nah, sharks.
Well, you even. Right,
I can cover myself up. Yeah.
Serious question, how deep will you wade in? Just to walk?
2 inches.
2 inches. Well, you know when you people walk up and down the beach and some people walk hard?
Yes, all his toes.
I tell you, I don't go. I only go as far as I have to. If I've got the kids with me, then I'll go. I'll go depending on where they want to go. But
so when the sharks come, you just throw the kids.
Oh, what?
What do you wear? What, if you have to go to the beach, what would you wear?
Speedos.
No!
What every real man wears down the beach.
Speedos?
Speedos.
Oh, my God. Okay, oh, okay, my goodness. Bye-bye, everybody.
You're right.
Okay,
Speedo. You're right.
Whatever.
Right. Speedo.
You're wearing Speedo?
All right. Comments well, from...
I mean, if he's wearing them, I'll have to wear them.
Frank.
Speedo.
Hey, hey. Never mind the beach. Years ago. A connoisseur of the swimming pool as well. We went to one of the local... Not me and him. It wasn't me before. There was kids there. It wasn't me. We're at a swimming pool in one of our local towns, and he went the diving board, right? Outside swimming pool, the diving board, and they gave it that one. He got a bit confident. He went, hey, watch this. And he ran down this diving board, right? Took a run up, slipped, right? Hit his toe into the thing in the water, and I went, oh. Oh, that's quite good. And then he came out, right? Came out like this. He was walking back to the kids like this.
I tell you what, I thought I broke
it. I thought you lost your speed.
Why did you do that?
I didn't try it. I didn't mean to do it.
No, but why did you even do it in the first place?
Just run.
Oh, we're really kids.
Just trying to show off to the kids.
Well, I'll try to give it that one, yeah. Give all that, yeah. The diving board.
Oh, yeah,
that's up there with falling through the ice.
No, seriously, that was
beautiful. My goodness.
Speedo. The thing is, I thought I covered it up well. See, I probably looked how he was when he was walking, but I didn't think that at the time. I thought, I'll just make sure nobody notices. Killing me.
At least you're with Craig, who was obviously very sympathetic to everything.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You never did it again.
Do you know what? Did you notice earlier when you asked him about Lukaku? Did you feel for him? Right? He had to think about it. And he actually did say yes at the end. But he actually had to think about
it.
Are
you saying that he has no heart?
Oh, that's what we just showed he does. That's very hard.
That's very hard. Well, I was just taking a breath before I gave a thoughtful answer.
Oh my God, you're an actor and you're a politic as well, you know?
No, we've already established.
I mean, he was upset.
Yeah, we've established that Craig is one of the nicest people here. And he welcomes all the new people. It's true.
I cried when I got sent off at the World Cup. Right enough.
Yeah, there must have been no beers in the dressing room when you got back there.
Right.
He was cold.
Yeah.
Well. There's a few things for you to think about for tonight, Stevie and the pool and his Speedos. Thanks so much for joining us on the latest edition of Extra Time.
Speedos.
We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again.
I would love.